If you were a Christian growing up in the 80s and the 90s, well, I was, and there was this, I want to call them like a Christian version of Guns N' Roses, but they weren't really. Petra. Do you remember Petra? Yeah, that's right. They had this song, which I remember being quite cool. Get on your knees and fight like a man. Do you remember that? No, I probably didn't do it quite right. Anyway, I was just thinking about that before. It's quite funny. Funny for me. But yeah, if you've been in church for a while, you might have heard it said that prayer is simply having a conversation with God, like you would with your friend or your wife or your unborn baby or your brother's rabbit. I don't think it's quite like having that sort of conversation, but you'll hear that it's a good thing to have quiet times, you know, moments each day where you focus on God, where you hopefully, you might read the Bible, bless you. Can you go out next time when you want to do that? Yeah. You might want to have quiet times. You might read the Bible and you might pray. You might have these sort of intentional times, these moments each day where you focus and you're in the company of God. So, quite a few years ago, I was in a quiet time funk, and it wasn't that funky, but it was sort of ironic because I was working at the Bible Society and doing a piece of research for them that was about trying to encourage people to read the Bible and encouraging people to engage with the Bible. But meanwhile, I was finding it really, really hard. I found like picking up this book to be next to impossible. It just seemed like a lead brick, like this heavy car battery sitting on the ground, and I couldn't pick it up. It felt like if I was going to read it, then I had so many expectations of what was meant to happen when I read the Bible, and so I didn't read the Bible, and I didn't really have any quiet times. So eventually, I finished that project at Bible Society and started working up at the Maligan Institute, which is on the Kelvin Victoria University campus, and it was quite great. I was living over in Kilburnie at the time, and I'd be able to ride my bike through Newtown, Mount Cook, up the terrace, and up to university, which was really, really great. You ride through peak hour traffic, and it sometimes gets a bit hairy. And I had a few encounters with cars, like you could say. And I had these encounters. I had quite a few encounters in a short amount of time, like in a few months. I rode into the back of cars, or they rode into the back of me, or different things happened, and it really got me quite nervous about riding my bike to work. And I thought, well, back when I was living at mum and dad's, and we'd go on family holidays, we'd pray for journey mercies. It's quite a funny phrase, that, eh? Journey mercies. Basically, we'd pray for safety on the road. And so I thought, well, I'll give that a crack. And so I sit down before heading out the door, sit down on the side of my bed and pray, Lord, dear Lord, please protect me on my bike today. I want to get to work without dying. That would be a terrible way to go, I think, but anyway. And he did. So that was cool. I didn't have as many accidents after that. And gradually, that just sitting down on the side of my bed and having that quick pray, it sort of grew into something more. And I'd make a coffee, and then I'd sit on the side of my bed and I'd pray. I thought I should read a bit of the Bible, so I got a message version of the Bible and started reading through the Psalms. And it was really, I'm quite sort of nostalgic about it, because it was a really beautiful time when I'd start reading the Bible and I'd be a few sort of sentences into it and I'd just be really overcome with emotion. I don't know why. It wasn't that I was reading sad stuff, but I think it was being in the presence of God and God showing me that even though my prayers were short, protecting me on my bike, he was near and he was listening. And he was it was cool. So that just continued on. I just continue on having those sorts of prayer times and quiet times. And I think it makes sense looking back that reading the Psalms was a good way for me to reconnect with God through prayer. Because when you look at the Psalms, so many of them are these prayers. They're songs and they're prayers. So they're worshipful, And they're also, when you read them, like shockingly and brutally honest. The Psalms, they're congregational, and yet they're so personal, eh? Like they're so vulnerable. And they're hopeful, but then there's some Psalms where it's only like they're clinging to hope. Only just. You get to the end of it, and then there's a hopeful sentence. And I kind of find it quite encouraging because, you know, you've got this prayer book right in the middle of our Bible, and they're like that. And it gives me hope, and it reminds me that maybe I don't have to have it all together to pray. So when is the best time to pray? Is it after having pure thoughts for a whole day? Is it after going for a whole week without getting impatient at your workmates and everybody else on the road? Or is it when we're full of faith, we're optimistic, and we're confident that God hears us and he's going to do something on our behalf? Well, when I read the Psalms, it reminds me that maybe the best time to pray is right now. It's all the time. It's at any moment, and it's whenever. It's right when I'm right at that moment when I'm being tempted, or maybe right at that moment after I've been tempted and I've actually failed, I've stuffed up. It's right in that moment when I'm being impatient, when I'm full of dirt and fear and failure. It's right at that moment when I'm full of hope, when I'm optimistic and confident. I've been nice to people at work. I've been nice to people on the train. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, he tells us to pray at all times and on every occasion. So it's pretty cool. We've got this prayer book right in the middle of our Bibles. And we can use the Psalms. We can learn from them. Psalms are pretty good. But what's even better is Jesus. I reckon that even better than learning from the Psalms is learning directly from the Master, from Jesus. We can learn how to pray from Jesus, who is the Son of God and is God. He's part of the Trinity, the three in one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before anything else existed, the three in one God was there in perfect harmony and communication. If you want to read, remember when we last year when we were going through John, and it talks about before anything else, there was God. God talks to himself, but he's not talking to himself in a sort of a pathological way. He's three persons, so it's okay. Maybe it's more like God is talking within the company of himself. If you look back in Genesis chapter 1, 26, when he was doing some creating, God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness." He says, "Let us." That's the three of them. So I reckon that if anybody knows how to communicate with God, it's Jesus. When we read the Gospels, we discover that Jesus prayed and he got away and he prayed a lot. Luke 5:16. I might even have this on my slide. No. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And many times in the Gospels, we read of how Jesus would get away by himself. He'd pray. And you get the impression that these times were really, really important for him. They were life-giving. They were guiding. And also, it must have made an impression on his followers. They wrote about it. And they sure took notice of what he was up to. And they wanted to learn the Jesus way to pray. In Luke 11:1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" Now this is the only occasion in the New Testament when we see Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them something. Dan Wilt, who you might have heard of, he was a worship leader over in the Vineyards, and he sort of leads up, he's one of the leaders over in the Vineyard churches in Canada. He writes, "They do not ask to be taught how to heal, how to show compassion, or how to tell others the good news of the kingdom. They simply ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Could it be that what the disciples saw in Jesus' life, the quality they most wanted to have as their own, was not his wisdom, power, or teaching ability? Could it be that what they most wanted to learn was how to have the inner life of intimacy Jesus seemed to have with his Father? his life of prayer. Now this makes sense to me. Jesus spoke a lot about abiding in the Father. A few weeks ago, Marilyn preached about this. She talked about enjoying the presence of God to experience, I love this turn of phrase, to experience his wraparound presence at every moment. In John chapter 15, Jesus teaches us to abide in him and that it's out of that life-giving connection that we're able to bear fruit. He is the true vine, we are the branches. And the only way that branches can bear fruit is if they're still attached to the vine. This is not rocket science. We need to be attached to the vine. We need to be abiding in the vine. So it makes sense that Jesus' disciples, after hearing all this teaching, that they would want to learn from Jesus how to have the kind of intimacy that he had with his Father. So Jesus listened to them, and he teaches them to pray. And now we're going to jump into the book of Matthew. Jesus' teaching on prayer is in the middle of this long discourse known as the Sermon on the Mount. It kicks off in Matthew chapter 5. They're all on this mountain, on this mountainside or on the mountain. Jesus is sitting down and there's crowds of people listening to him, hanging on his words. He's teaching them about the lifestyle that he wants his followers to have. And it's hard reading. This is super challenging stuff. It's really, really hard hitting, and he sets the bar just so high. But at the same time, I think we're drawn to it because it's good. It's good. We know it's good, and it's hopeful. His target is the heart of his listeners. What are our deepest motivations? Are they to impress other people? Are they to get ahead in life no matter what the cost? Or are they to be right in the eyes of God? We get to chapter 6, verse 5, and this is what Jesus says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received your reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is not teaching us that it's bad to pray in public, but he's teaching us that it's bad to pray in public in order to impress other people. If we do that, then that's essentially where it ends. That's where the prayer ends. We might get the admiration of other people. Wow, good stuff. You know, that's not a great reward. But if we can get away to that alone place where there's no one to impress, we can't impress them. And we pray to the Father. It's interesting, that it says the Father who is in secret and he sees in secret, he will reward us. It's really cool. Jesus continues, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. For some people, these would be quite familiar words, but they're actually amazing when you think about it. They are spectacular. Good news. Not only don't bother trying to impress each other with our prayers, don't even bother trying to impress God. We don't need to. He knows us as we are. He loves us as we are. He loves us so much that he knows what we need before we get bogged down and trying to say the right thing at the right time. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from him. But we can enter into the presence of God just the way we are. And it's only because of what Jesus did. Jesus traded his righteousness for our brokenness. He traded his holiness for our filthiness. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb, we can be perfect in the eyes of God. We don't need to try to get our prayers perfect. We don't need to try to get ourselves perfect because Jesus is our great high priest. This is what it says in Hebrews 4, 13 to 16. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, we will find his grace to help us when we need it most. That's good, oh, so good. It was cool, the songs that Anna chose to sing this morning, I think it all ties into this beautifully. And now we get to what Dallas Willard, he calls the grandest prayer of all, the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps the most prayed prayer in all of history across the body of Christ. It is unrivaled in its simplicity, expansive in its reach, and honed in its kingdom focus. That's what Dan Wilk says. So this is what Jesus says. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's it. Oh, solid. So this is an introduction, by the way. 11:25. This is an introduction to the next 6 weeks, don't worry. We're going to be spending time in this prayer. We're going to be learning from our Master Jesus. We'll look at it in six parts. Our Father in heaven. Dad's doing that next week. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us this day. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Because each of these statements, they're packed full of substance. And it can be quite easy, as it just was, to just read through it and not grab hold of this model. It's our hope, our intention, that as we progress through this series and learn to pray as Jesus taught, that we'll see a renewal of our own intimacy with the Father. And at the same time, we'll see real lasting change taking place in the world around us. Because there's two elements to prayer. One is the connection of our hearts to God, and our deepening understanding of him. Again, another quote from Dallas Willard, he writes, "Prayer, it is rightly said, is the method of genuine theological research, the method of understanding what and who God is." That's cool. "God is spirit and exists at the level of reality where the human heart or spirit also exists, serving as the foundation and source of our visible life. It is there that the individual meets with God in spirit and in truth." So there's that personal element. But the other element is the intercessory side of it. The prayer for seeing change in the world around us, or prayer for other people, prayer for situations. Because we all know that the world is not as it should be. And it's pretty hard seeing the news at the moment and to not feel completely powerless and unable to halt what sometimes looks like a march towards the apocalypse. There's poverty, war, there's insane immigration policies, there's climate change, natural disasters, and reality TV. It's a bad place. So the other element of prayer is to take all of these things, all these things to God with the expectation and hope that God is actually God. God is God over all, that he is in charge, and that he can affect change in our world. And to remember that all is not lost, and we pray that prayer, your kingdom come. So I'm super excited. I'm excited about this journey through the Lord's Prayer. My heart's desire is to know God more and more. And it's cool that we get to do it together. We get to go on this journey, get to deepen our understanding and learn from the Master. So I'm going to wrap up now with with a rewording off the Lord's Prayer that Dallas Willard, this guy I keep quoting from, he put together. As I read through this prayer, you might want to shut your eyes and sort of think through the words yourself, and to take it on board. Also, if you don't know Jesus and you're here this morning, and you want to give your life to God, then I reckon that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a great way to start. If that's you too, then I would love to talk to you afterwards. So this is the prayer. Dear Father, always near us, may your name be treasured and loved. May your rule be completed in us. May your will be done here on earth in just the way it is in heaven. Give us today the things we need today. And forgive us our sins and impositions on you, as we are forgiving all who in any way offend us. Please don't put us through trials, but deliver us from everything bad, because you are the one in charge, and you have all the power. And the glory too is all yours forever, which is just the way we want it. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, so much that you didn't come and separate yourself from humanity and be this strange figure that that we couldn't understand or couldn't come near. But you became a man that we could follow. You modeled for us a way of having intimacy with the Father, of abiding in the three in one God. Thank you for the prayer that you've given to us and that you've modeled for us. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to learn from you. Lord, teach our hearts what it really is to pray like you. Holy Spirit, I pray that each person here, all of us, that we would know you deeper and deeper. And when we have those times alone or of sort of genuine engagement with you, that we would know without a doubt that you are there, that you are present, that our prayers are heard, that you are the God who knows all, that nothing is hidden from you. We would know and be reminded that Jesus, you are our high priest interceding on our behalf, and the guilt and condemnation that we come under when the enemy tries to tell lies to us, that we would be able to stand firmly and go, no, we're made righteous and holy by the sacrifice of Jesus. And Jesus himself is interceding on our behalf. So Holy Spirit, have your way, God. Spark a revival in our connection with you, in our times with you, Father. Yeah. Let your fire rage, as Anna was prophesying in the worship today. We thank you, Lord. You're so good. We love you. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So if there's anything that you want us to pray for you this morning, come on up. And if you don't want to come up, then grab somebody around you. We can all pray. We've got a good model. I'll put it up on the slide.
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah. And we can see God moving in our lives. So bless you today. Have a good time with each other. And for the rest of the day and the week.